I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
An Erios production.
Would I kill my own baby to save a village?
Would I go back in time and kill Hitler?
Would I take the promotion at work with strings attached?
Would I eat muffins for the rest of my life if it meant I didn't have to go to school?
Would I have Satan's child?
Everyone, and welcome to
The Big Ones.
Each week, we discuss new ethical questions ranging from historical decisions to relationship problems to brain-busting moral choices.
The questions can be complicated to discuss, but they're always fun to talk about because they force you to look deep, deep, deep within inside yourself. Will you like what you see?
Lauren Lapkus?
Oh, wow. I don't know.
Well, you'll find out.
I think
out.
You will.
I
you
hope
will.
So.
I think, yeah.
I feel pretty confident about where I stand morally.
Oh, good.
But I don't know. We'll find out.
Interesting. Yeah. What do you think gave you your strong moral center?
Maybe being from the Midwest.
Oh, yes.
I think there's some of that.
Where are you from in the Midwest?
I grew up in Evanston, right outside of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's some level of, I don't know, just the way people are there, where you have to like stay true to what you believe or something. People call you out.
Yes.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I got my moral center from my Catholic education.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel still under the oppression of that?
Of Jesus.
I do.
I'm going to just try.
I was trying to find a word that didn't put my own opinion on it.
Will you turn me up just a tad? I'm just Amanda.
Lauren, you talk real quick.
Yes, this is me talking, and I am talking now.
Hello.
We're all good. And
okay.
Okay.
That should be good.
I can get a little loud.
Okay. Okay, guys. So that's now we're back.
Mm-hmm.
I never know what Maria's going to cut or what she edits it
right.
or what she's not going to cut. So I just try and, act like it's all going to stay in.
And that's your creative choice to just leave in.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she doesn't listen.
I do listen.
No, you don't.
Sometimes. No. But I hear it firsthand.
That's right. What I always say.
Do you listen to your podcast?
Oh, God. It really depends. Sometimes I listen before releasing so I make sure I didn't say something crazy. Like on Threedom, we get into like personal discussions and sometimes we share things that we wouldn't have shared on the podcast.
Right.
And then I'll realize, oh, I really don't want people to know that. Or like, oh, that opinion is just going to be annoying on Twitter. Like people are going to say something to me about that. So I'm just going to cut that out.
Mm.
So sometimes I find things I've said where I was like, oh, I was too free right there.
Yeah. No, I do that quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I look out for everyone. I don't just look out for myself.
Really? I did notice there were some things because I did re-listen to the episode we did with Chris Smith where we were talking about would you want the perfect version of your spouse based on that movie, The One I Love. And I did notice you took a couple things I set out.
Oh, yeah. I took out the R-rated stuff.
Yeah.
I kept it a little bit, but then I cut it before it got X-rated.
Wow.
It wasn't good. Now you're making it seem worse.
I want to hear it.
It was just her going, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And you kept hitting it.
I was just doing, it's called innuendo, girls.
Innuendo?
Innuendo.
Innuendo.
It's innuendo, isn't it?
It's innuendo, but it sounded like you were saying, it's an innuendo of innuendo. Innuendo.
Innuendo. Oh, like,
he wants to go innuendo.
Innuendo.
Dang.
God, no, this is all getting cut out. I can't stand that.
Maria likes to keep things
sick.
PG.
Okay.
That's good to know.
I'll do a PG-13, an F word every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. What a prude.
One or two per episode.
Interesting. And what's that for you? Like, why do you feel like it's just not necessary?
I don't know. Like, it can be, but I don't know. It just, for some reason, it's not like I choose to. Well, I do when I edit. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing.
It
I don't know.
It just hits you in a way and you're like, that doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't find dirty
blue humor
just too funny.
Okay. Well, yeah. I won't be talking too much today.
No.
No, I'm able to not do it.
I'm not saying blue humor isn't funny. You know, I love a Farrelly Brothers movie. Yeah, yeah. I'm no prude. Well, Lauren, we like to at the beginning. Sorry, I'm sitting like a jock.
No, yeah. I think it's really cool.
Is this what a jock sits like? I've got my arm up on my a chair. That's...
It's like it's waiting for your girlfriend to sit under.
Yeah, I do find that I like my arms up like this.
Yeah, it helps with your posture, maybe. Or
yeah, I don't sit up straight at all. And sometimes when I sit up straight, I think, can you imagine if I walked in here and just sat like this during the podcast?
Yeah, you'd be a nerd.
It would be so weird.
That's why you got to sit like this. You got to lounge.
Oh my God. I had a friend in middle school who was a dancer and she always sat perfectly. And I was like, so annoying.
That is really annoying.
Yeah.
She's not your friend anymore, I bet.
We're casual friends.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That's good. But keep her at arm's length, I think. Just to be careful.
But your arms get shorter when you stand up straight. So it gets a little harder to like reach for things, I find. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of true because like it's...
Yeah, like if I was sitting like this...
Oh, interesting, because yeah, you can really...
Yeah, you can. When you slouch, you can really reach out and grab things. When you stand up straight, you're really... It's like you're at a table setting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Everything needs to be right in front of you.
Yeah.
I remember like wanting to do that experiment where you like strap yourself to your chair and see how... I could make my back straight. Because when I was growing up, I was really slouchy all the time and like trying not to be tall.
Because you're tall, right?
Yeah.
What are you, like
5'10"?
5'10". Yeah. Wow.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'7".
You seem tall.
Yeah, I'm a big 5'7".
Oh, she looks small to me.
Really?
Really? It's just because please. I was actually looking at myself in the bathroom because I'm wearing these kind of like big pants now that are stylish for women that are like big white like
Jessie
trousers.
Cam pants?
I don't know what these are, but I buy all my clothes at the Crossroads in Pasadena. So they
oh, good
be
for
anything.
You.
Yeah, I really do. They've got great. Okay, I say it all the time. I'll say it again. They've got the best stuff. Like these are.
Dude, I want to do that.
Like $400 pants. I got them for $25 with the tag still
Jesus
on them.
Jesus Christ.
I know. But I also think people
Stand
are running.
Okay.
Yeah, we do want to see them.
But anyway.
And I'll take a picture and post online so people don't feel left out.
But anyway, I was thinking that these pants made me feel like a tiny child dressing in her dad's like
oh
trousers.
Yeah, I have a pair
skinny
like that
dad.
And it
what'd you say?
Skinny dad.
Oh, that's nice. Skinny dad, that's the best any of us could hope for over 30 to be the size of a skinny dad.
I have some wide leg pants and I posted a picture of just my like ankle to foot at one point because it was just a cool picture.
Sounds like it.
You know, it was like I was in Tokyo and it like was a cool background. And
sure,
so then it was like, and my sock had a cool image on it or whatever. It was a smiley face winking, but okay. That was the and then someone was like, I thought this was Kevin Smith's leg. Because it was like.
Why? But that's post.
Because it was like the wide leg pant, a sock, and then like a sneaker.
That's really funny.
And I was like, oh, it does look like that.
Oh, it's really funny.
I know.
Wow, that's a fun image. That's a soothing image.
Yeah.
Well, a wide leg pant with a skinny little ankle.
I will say overall, I do like the wide leg pants.
I like it too.
Yeah, I'm accepting of it.
I couldn't wear it without feeling self-conscious.
I know. I really wish I just like if I could just like take your brain out of your own head and just have your lifeless body. And,
try it.
And
I dare
dress
you.
Dress it up. I would like you just have the best figure for all
totally.
Clothes.
What's the fear with the wide leg? Like you'd feel like you're putting on a whole affect or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel. I feel like I'm. I'd be I'd be lying.
That's how I feel about big hats. Like, who do I think I am with this hat?
But where are you trying to wear these big hats to?
Just down the street, like anybody. And I can't. It's not possible. I've never gotten out the door.
I can wear a sun hat at the beach or at a pool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a hat every day, I feel like a fraud.
Like a wide brim, like... hat, like whatever these people are wearing. You don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really only wearing a wide brimmed hat, like out by a pool or for actual sun, to keep sun off of my face,
not for hipster purposes.
No, no, I too am self conscious about a fashion hat.
Yeah. I dress to be ignored, not to be seen. Like that's truly, it's. Please don't look at me. Let me through.
Wow, I kind of love it.
Well, I guess, but then
the mentality.
But you do have to wonder, like what. is that?
What are you hiding?
What am I hiding?
Yeah.
What are you afraid of?
I'm hiding behind my tea and my skinny jeans.
I know. I would just love sometime to just dress you though.
What would you do?
Yeah.
Well, I would get her in some high-waisted sailor pants.
Oh, no. How long would they be?
You'd look cute in them.
Yeah. They can hit the ankle. They don't have to be cropped.
You're not going
to
put me in a wedge.
No, I wouldn't do a wedge on you. Well, this is, what season am I dressing you for?
I don't know.
What,
you tell
fall?
Me.
Let's do fall.
Okay. So for fall. Okay. So for fall, I'm going to do, okay. And this is like an, okay.
God.
For fall, I'm doing you. I'm just going to do the wide legs because we've been talking about it. So I'm going to do a little high-waisted bootcut wide leg trouser. I know. I'm going to put you in some tennis
shoes.
That's
cute. Trouser, yeah.
Yeah.
Boot cut? Like a straight down boot cut?
Oh, no, sorry. Not a boot cut, but it like goes to the ankle.
A bit wide,
yeah. But kind of like how these pants are cut, but they don't have to be cropped. So that it can be like, you know. And then I'm going to put you in a tennis shoe.
What kind of tennis shoe?
Like a cute hip, like a Gola. Do you know Gola tennis shoes? I have a pair. They're just cute, really simple tennis shoes.
Yeah.
Maybe like a colorful stripe.
It's almost like cool for you because it's less of a brand even. So you're in a sense doing what you want by being like very simple.
Like don't read any.
Yeah,
like,
don't
there's
read
nothing
into
to read
this.
Here. Yeah, yeah don't yeah. read into this. This has no name.
Yeah.
And then let's say the pants are like a army green color. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And then I'm going to just put you in a
camo tee.
With a big backpack. Helmet.
I'm going to just put you in a crisp t-shirt. Like maybe
Amanda, you're not dressing me too differently.
No. I think crisp white t-shirt tucked in.
Yeah. And then maybe like a little necklace.
Yeah.
Right?
A thin gold chain.
Cool. You know who my style icon is? Do you know who my style icon is? And I'm going to tell this to you both. I've got two.
I can't wait.
I got two
is
style
it Albert
icons. No, I've got two style icons, and I'm going to tell you guys who they are right now. Okay. And I don't want any pushback on this.
Okay. I think I've heard maybe some of this before.
Because here's the thing: I may not dress like them now, but I strive to.
Okay.
Number one, and this is more eye in the sky kind of thing: Sofia Coppola.
That's cool.
Because very plain, very. Yeah, look her up, Amanda. Just watch. Watch as you see her with that.
I have a feeling she's literally wearing that outfit that I just put you in.
She would never wear those kinds of. She wouldn't wear an army.
She's kind of dressed as feminine, but she'll do like.
It's a preppy feminine.
Yeah,
that's good.
Let me see, Amanda.
She's wearing a high-waisted pant with almost an elastic waist with a short sleeve button down that goes to the elbow.
My other is Emma Roberts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She
dresses
cute.
Google that.
Yeah.
Emma Roberts. I'm going to put street style. Okay. So, yeah. So you're kind of going for like a menswear look. But like this is what I'm imagining you in. Like a cute little vintage tee.
Yeah.
Look, this is what I like. Some high-waisted trousers.
I love a high-waisted.
But with a boyfriend shirt. Like this is nothing's wrong with
She's
this.
Doing plaids and stripes too. It's kind of fun.
It is really fun. Like this. This is totally doable for you. And you have her figure. You're kind of like a waif like
she is. So yeah, this is a good idea. A cardigan with no visible shirt underneath, buttoned all the way up.
But there is one under there.
I'm giving you a shirt underneath because I'm guessing she's like braless right there and it's like too much for me. But tucked into a high-waisted pant.
I mean, look at this street style. She's doing a crop. This isn't her best. But anyway, we can all achieve this. I could talk about this all day, but Lauren, we need to get to your little big one. Let's hear your little your little dilemma.
This is a dilemma it's not mine, but I feel safe saying it. So I have basically there are some people in my life. I'll just keep it vague. And there are a lot of children involved. Mm. And the children on one, so it's two families and the kids are friends. And one kid got lice. And then the other family found out that their two kids had lice and so did they. Parents. And that kid, the mom texted and was like, so-and-so has lice. Do you guys still want to hang out on, like, do you guys want to hang out on Wednesday? Basically, like, not even saying you might have it. Basically, they found out from them saying he has lice and do you want to hang out on Wednesday? They check for lice on their children, find all the lice, and then think, why would you want to hang out on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I feel like it's like one of those things of, is it mean to blame that? Because they, what, the lice did seemingly come from that child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a rude thing to blame them for? Can you say we don't want to hang out? Can you, like, is that quarantining in a bad way, or is that okay?
It's hard because, like, when you have lice, do you still send your children to school?
I think they did.
I think that I remember there being lice outbreaks.
Yes.
In my school, and everyone still went, but you just had to wear your hair in braids.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to solve it, because, like, little boys get lice.
Right, I know.
Well, I have a problem with parents sending their sick kids to school.
Yeah.
I have a problem with, I mean, like, just that sense of, like, no, it's fine, just go. It's so selfish.
And the idea of just get what, go spread it, and everyone can get it and get it out of their system. Like, or, like, chicken pox or something, where it's, like, just give it to them. Like, I feel like lice are terrifying to me, because my mom was a first grade teacher for 40 years, and so she was constantly boiling our hairbrushes. It was, like, always happening, like, preemptively. Like, let's just do everything
to make
sure.
And would you guys eat the stew that she made? Sounds good.
That was great, Maria. Thank you.
You were so hopeful with the question. And we never got it, as far as I remember. I don't think I ever had lice.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember ever having it. I remember my friend getting it, and all of her toys had to be bagged up.
Oh, and what are lice? They're these little creatures that just kind of,
they're little nitty balls, like little eggs.
And if you don't take care of them, what happens?
They can just keep multiplying.
Oh,
and you have to comb them out with a little comb, and then you have to, like, use anti-lice shampoo.
Got it.
Yeah. But I felt like, and I know everyone involved pretty intimately, why would you think you can still hang out on Wednesday?
Yeah, so let me just clarify from my own brain. So there is family A and family B. They both have kids. Family A, they had hung out and given each other lice.
Yeah, so it started somewhere.
We don't know where ground zero was for lice.
We don't, but we guess it was family external.
A.
Yeah.
I see. So then, but family A now knows they have lice, and they're saying, hey, do you guys want to still hang out? Does everyone involved have lice already?
Do they know that family B has lice?
I think that the question of, my child has lice, do you want to hang out on Wednesday, was before they realized, the second family realized, our kids also have lice and so do we.
That's just weird. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you just have to say no.
And then I think when you find out they do have lice, you definitely still don't want to, in my opinion, you definitely still don't want to hang out, because you're just going to keep passing it back and forth because you
someone needs to educate them. I mean, it just sounds so strange to, like, I just don't understand.
I guess I don't understand either.
I'm confused.
I found it crazy. But then I thought, is it rude to say no?
No, it's no. Right. And you should tell them, you should go. And I would suggest not going around other kids because this is very contagious.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that family A knows that there's something off with this request because they're giving them the out. Like, I have a feeling that they're kind of like, hey, we get it. But maybe they're like, don't want to be cooped up in the house.
Yeah.
So what?
This does scare me about having kids. Like, we used to have, they'd call them lice checks at school.
Yeah, so they comb in your hair.
Yeah, and it always felt so
good. It hurt.
Oh, I didn't like it.
I have a really tough head, though, so I, like, love having my hair
pulled. Yeah, you can't get anything through there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always hated it because it would pull your hair and, like, look, like, in all the sections.
Oh, I love that. But I would go home and go, Mom, check my hair for lice. Like, I'd ask her that all the time as a way to get her to rub
That's
my
adorable.
Head.
Did you get those tests at school?
I feel like maybe once or twice, but I don't remember there being a lice outbreak ever in my school. And why do kids get it so much?
I think because, I guess my assumption is that they're
filthy.
No, because it's nothing to do with being unclean. I feel like they try to really, the lice people were really trying to make you aware that, like, this doesn't mean you're dirty.
What does it mean?
They just jump. They spread. I don't know where they start, though. Can you Google that?
You don't see, like...
Like, where do they begin?
You don't see it happening in colleges.
Right. It's definitely children, but why? Yeah, because it would seem like it would happen in environments like that.
The microscopic insects, first of all, what are lice? The microscopic insects live in your hair close to your scalp. Head lice must feed off another living body in order to survive. Their source of food is human blood, which they get from your scalp. Head lice can't fly and aren't airborne and can't live in water very long away from their host.
Oh, that's nice.
So
they miss you.
Where do they come from? Close personal contact. You'd have to basically have like head-to-head
contact. Maybe it's because kids are always doing stuff like that.
And if you share combs, brushes, towels, hats, or other personal
items. Why don't adults
items.
Get it?
I mean, I guess they do, but only when you're around your
right,
child.
Right, but why don't... Where? Why?
Why do kids have to be so filthy all the time?
I
know.
Well, they get... Also, kids, like, it's the same thing as they're spreading their sicknesses all the time. So, like, when I used to work around kids a lot, I would get sick. I'd get, like, really bad colds and flus and stuff, like once a month. Just because kids are so... They're just filthy. I mean, they are. They really are.
Yeah. They're sticky. Because they're not washing their hands. They're going... And then they just like wipe their nose and then touch a thing and they don't
Is it wrong to put gloves on your kid? Like, is that crazy?
Yes.
Like have the kid wear gloves at school.
You're gonna raise a bubble boy.
Well, and the kids were all going to school as far as I know during all of this.
No.
And I think that is sick.
No, it is sick. I don't know what's grosser, that or the lice.
No one seems to really know why kids get lice. They said it might be something linked to a particular scalp pH balance.
Oh.
But
I think if your kid's sick, if anything is spreadable, you got to suck it up, keep your kid home.
Yeah.
Just be conscious that other families don't want to get it.
Right.
Yeah, so it says once you turn 12, there's your pH on your head changes. So I think it's harder for the lice to get up there.
This is fascinating.
Well, we should invent like a pH helmet.
I mean,
right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Bubble boy.
You're not wrong.
I think the science is just waiting for us to.
Anyway, yeah, I say my beliefs about lice are like stay inside, deal with the problem, and just why would you want to risk infecting other people?
Yeah, and then I was mentioning this to a friend, and she said that when she was little, this is a little bit different, but when she was little, she was playing at her friend's house, or her friend was playing at her house, and her mom realizes that the daughter has chicken pox. And she called the other mom and was like, oh, my daughter has chicken pox. If you want to come get your daughter. And she was like, no, just let them play and let her get it. And but, then she did.
But I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because it like kids kind of have to get.
But now there's a vaccine, I think.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember my brother getting chicken pox and my parents not really caring. I was around him so that I could just get it too.
Yeah.
But because then if you don't get it, you can get measles. Like, or what's the other, or shingles,
no,
or whatever.
No, I've
what
had shingles, which you can only get if you have had chicken pox.
Oh.
You get it three times. I don't know why there's like a limit.
Was shingles horrible?
Oh, it was the worst thing ever.
And what is that? That's like pain, like shooting
pain? Oh my God.
Pain?
So it started actually that I had a lump in my armpit and I was like at UCB being like, why is there this lump in my armpit? I was kind of getting scared, but I didn't know. It was just weird.
Yeah.
And then Matt Walsh was like, go to the doctor. And I was like, oh, like I just feel like I needed like an older person to tell me to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
The next day I was like already, it had already changed so much and I was in like searing pain on my back. I had this like rash on my back in one spot. It can only happen on one side of your body, I guess. So like the lump happened on the same side as the rash. It's a lymph node that's like clogged. And it hurt so bad. It hurt like someone was holding a pot to my back, like a boiling pot. And I had to take steroids. And then I had to put this like patch on it. But it can be contagious. So it was like hard to have people like, I didn't want people to touch it, but I needed someone to help me put it on my back. It was so bad.
Oh, no.
It was horrible.
How long did that go on for?
It lasted for like,
I want to say like 10 days or something. Like it was a pretty long time. And then I guess I can get it two more times. And actually when I talk about it, I feel it. Like it feels like I can feel the area.
Oh my God. Oh,
it was horrible.
That's awful.
I know.
Well, guys, be careful out there.
To me, that question is like, obviously don't hang out. But I feel like it's like you have to educate someone else. And that's where it feels uncomfortable. Like we're like, no.
Yeah, you have to be, that's crazy because you're putting other kids in the line of fire.
But maybe some people think lice is like no big deal. But lice isn't like chicken pox where if you've had it, you don't get it again.
Really? Like, I feel like if you don't get rid of it, it would keep showing up. Like you have to like really get rid of it.
I would like to hear if we have listeners who have kids, maybe we're missing something.
Or if any kids are listening. Or any lice.
I'd love to get a kid's perspective.
I'd love to get a lice's perspective.
Me too.
Yeah. So before we get into the big, big one, we have to do our ask.
Oh, that's so true, Amanda.
So Lauren, we do our ask for rate and review at the beginning of the podcast because scientifically people listen to you more.
Uh-huh.
And that's how men do it. So we are trying to do it like how the boys do it because they get more listeners.
Now, I said on Twitter, on the big ones account, I said breaking news, like, if we get 500 reviews by the end of like last week or whatever, we'll do a live stream of the show and it will be a call-in show. Now, something must have happened or something because I think we only got 10 new reviews.
And are you talking like an actual, hello, I'm rating and reviewing or just a 5-star?
Doesn't matter. Either.
Okay. So only 10 people.
You know what? I think if you're listening and you didn't go do it, you're a loser and you're mean. Because when people say this very little thing that takes 1 second of your life will help my life, you should go do it. And I actually really feel this about GoFundMes. I feel like not necessarily for like, you know, people's project you don't believe in, but for like somebody who has cancer and needs a dollar, go put a dollar on the page. Yeah. It takes 2 seconds. This is equal to that.
Yes.
Go review it. It takes 1 second.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it helps people.
It really does.
It does. And we need it. And that's just like, it's so embarrassing for us to put something out there like that on Twitter and just thinking we're going to get this big response to our contest.
Oh, I didn't think that.
Well, don't leave them hanging. You have to go do it. You're listening right now and you haven't done it. When's the deadline?
Should we give a deadline by next time?
Next week. If we're not at 500.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe they need the deadline.
Yeah, I think that's true because I'm a procrastinator. So I definitely need a deadline. So if we're not at 500 by next week, what are we going to do?
Next Tuesday.
I'm going to go home and do it.
You will?
Thank you.
Yes.
Lauren, that's
why
so
would
nice.
I not do it?
Thank you. That's the attitude.
But everyone needs to do it.
Steve Agee did it.
See?
He did.
Yeah, if he's got time.
He's like on a set right now.
I know.
See, he did it.
Oh my God.
I'll read you guys one because sometimes we like to read them just so people know that their voice is being heard.
Yeah.
This is from Big Ones Fan 39.
Wow.
This is one of the best ones. I've been listening to these guys since I heard their first episode on James Bonding. I've been meaning to write a review, but just never got around to till now. See? While watching Goosebumps on Freeform.
That's right.
Wow,
baby.
Amanda, checks coming your way.
Oh, and, you're in that?
Yeah.
Oh
and my, God. My cop costume is for sale on some weird website for a couple
Are
$100.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So
Goosebumps is awesome.
It was really fun.
That's so cool you got to do that.
Now it says, Amanda Lund cracks me up every time.
Wow.
Now then they kind of say this, which I'm not 100% on board. I also really enjoy Maria.
Well, at least you got a shout out.
They're the best duo since Batman and Robin. I look forward to these episodes every week.
Well, we know that I'm Batman.
If you want to say that,
No, because I am Batman because of my resemblance to Val Kilmer.
Okay, then I'm the Joker.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I see that.
Just the toothy smile.
There's something there.
Yeah.
And you're the Joker?
Yeah.
I'm Penguin. I'm just visiting.
You are Penguin.
I'm Two-Face.
I'm Poison Ivy.
No,
ooh,
girl.
Sexy.
I'm the Iceman or whatever his name is. Freeze.
What is
his
Freeze?
Name? Is that his name?
I think
Mr.
it
Freeze?
Is, but I could easily be wrong and they'll come for me.
I can't think of any other ones. The Riddler.
Catwoman.
Yeah.
Yes,
Batgirl.
Yes.
Yes, queen. All right, guys. We also have a Patreon. Join that for as little as $1 a month. You get two extra episodes per month that no one else could hear.
For a dollar?
For as little as a dollar.
That's really good.
But you can you could give more
if you have the
income. Right. All right. So let's take a little break. I'm truly going to be embarrassed if there's no ad. But...
there really might be an ad.
This is hilarious.
there might not be an ad if there's not know that we're blushing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We are red.
We'll come back at you after this ad.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Oh no, I fear it. I fear what they didn't hear. But if you did hear an ad, that's great.
That's cute.
Sometimes the ads are not just us hawking stuff too. It's like they'll dynamically insert just like some woman.
Wait, like who does?
Well, our ad sales partners at Acast, they'll
put in an ad.
Oh, they dynamically like insert everything. Well, sometimes they're just like radio commercials, and it depends on where you're listening. So, like if you're in Tampa listening, you might have an ad for like
tampons.
Tampons. Yeah, it's all connected by how things sound. So should we get to our big one?
Yeah.
Do you have it or do you want me to read it? Or
that's actually cool though, because some people did hear an ad and some maybe didn't, but then you kind of anyone who didn't hear one know that other people did. So
yeah.
It's not
that's
like
so good. Yeah.
It's not like we're
it's
not
like there's no
do,
ads.
There
it's
are
like,
ads.
There you are. It's just you're
probably
in an area.
The only one that didn't hear it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope so.
Okay, Amanda. Now this is from Angela Sagiamo. Mm-hmm. So this is a listener wrote in and gave us
Okay,
this
I'm excited.
So this is our big, big one.
Okay.
You are a smart, successful, and dashing detective in the Miami Homicide Division.
Whoa.
Everything seems to be going swimmingly. You are solving murders left and right. You have a wonderful partner, and together you have two beautiful adopted children. Not to mention, you've got a swimming pool. One day, you are digging in your backyard to plant some sunflowers, and you discover a whole bunch of dog bones. Being the clever detective that you are, you quickly realize who is to blame. You take your 10-year-old son aside, and he admits everything. He just can't help it, and he can't stop. Given your experience with serial killers, you know this is a compulsion and that even therapy won't curb his appetite. You love your son more than anything and want him to live a successful life, but you can't in good conscience let him do whatever he wants. Do you help him by creating a moral code outlining who he can and cannot kill? Remember, you're a police detective who knows where all the pervs and killers are. And have a normal life? Or do you keep him locked away, living a solitary and unfulfilled life?
Wow.
And this, of course, is from the pilot of Dexter.
I forgot that the dog bones were in Dexter. Dexter's one of my favorite shows.
Oh, really?
Are there
dog bones in Dexter? And do they have a pool?
I guess. I don't remember the pilot, I guess.
I guess if they're in Miami, they have a pool.
Yeah.
I will also say there is a similar plot line on the new season of Mindhunter.
Yeah. Oh.
With this,
Mindhunter's good.
Yeah, Mindhunter is good. So,
Okay. So, what do you do? I mean, look, so we know what Dexter, what happened to Dexter.
Right.
Or maybe you don't. So, someone out there might not.
Spoiler alert.
His adoptive father... is a detective. He witnessed his mother's murder. That's actually what I think. I don't know if dog bones are a part of Dexter.
Maybe that
I think
was
he,
added
maybe
in.
It was a, that's a nice fun flavor. But he was like witnessed his mom's murder and was like a baby sitting in like a pool of blood when the detective found him and then he adopted him.
Okay.
So then was killing dogs or whatever. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Part. But the dad decides to teach him to be a killer who kills bad people, like killing rapists and murderers and stuff. So he uses his power for good. And he gets satiated by that.
Yeah.
And but it's still, I mean, okay, so first I think behind this question there's another question, another moral question, which is it morally okay to kill evil people?
I think yes.
You do?
Yeah. I think it is okay. I think if someone is a serial killer who kills people for no reason other than that they want to kill, I think it's okay for someone to kill them and just end the madness.
Yes. Right. It's still a...
It is questionable because it, like, people, if you don't believe in the death penalty, which I don't necessarily believe in the death penalty, but I do believe that if it's proven that someone is very bad...
You believe in getting even?
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's awful to kill someone who is attacking you, for example.
Oh, yeah. Self-defense. I'm A-okay with self-defense. There's something, though, like if I knew that someone was a serial killer and then I like snuck into their house and while they were sleeping, just like injected them with a killer poison.
Oh, my God. Ooh,
that's a cool way to do it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I come in through the air conditioning vents.
Oh, wow. God.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I also... P.S. Side note, I just watched the movie Serial Mom. Have you guys seen
Oh, wow. I haven't
seen
that since the 90s.
Anyway, it's crazy. Who's in that? Serial Mom. Oh my gosh. Your phone just popped with Serial Mom.
Ew, creepy.
That is so scary. Get that thing away from me,
it's
Maria.
Kill you.
What if I had that up the entire time waiting for you to say it?
That's so scary. But she kind of kills. She kills people who like annoy her.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't know. It's killing.
Well, I don't think I would want to kill them.
But you're like, if there was, you feel safer with a Dexter in the world.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of Dexter, but I don't. I feel bad for anyone who loves Dexter because he has this dark side that he can never express, and you can't know or you'll be. And also, they're all victims ultimately. I mean, like everyone who loves him. Comes to an untimely demise.
Yeah, that's so true.
That's
yeah.
Right. I mean, that's the thing, though. Now we have hindsight is 2020, so we see kind of what happened to Dexter is that it became a tangled web of lies, and you're still going to end up with this big secret. It's not really much of a life.
I wouldn't want my child. So if we're talking about, okay, you adopt a child who then is doing that. This
Let's
is a very
even
different...
say it's adopted. Let's just say this is
your child. Regardless, I mean, I would think of it as my own, but I'm saying the idea that I can't control... I have no idea. There's no, I think the adopted element might be interesting in that there's no like history of this happening or something. So you have no like story of how this has been handled or what this could mean if that was something that was genetically passed down. It might not be. But I don't know what I would do because I wouldn't want to set them up to kill other things.
Right.
I don't like the idea of saying, let's put this towards killing animals that are about to die or something, you know, like
maybe they could get a job in a slaughterhouse.
That's what I was just thinking, but they like the chase like that
right.
So
like
maybe
go
like,
work at a veterinarian's office and like put down dogs or
right
something.
Dr. Death.
Who's that?
Dr. Death. It's a podcast about a killer doctor.
Is it on Ereos?
It is, yeah. You haven't heard it?
Yeah, I'm listening to it right now.
So Maria, what are your thoughts off the bat?
I think, yeah, I mean, that's a, like, you know, a magical way of thinking, I guess, to be like, oh, you've got this thing. Well, let's put it to good use. Let's kill, you know. But at the end of the day, it's like, well, no, I mean, think of really putting that in your child's mind. Like, think
like
of
the idea.
Yeah. And like, and like saying that's okay to, I mean, that's a lot. That's going against everything human nature kind of tells us, because these aren't people that have wronged the little boy. These aren't things where the little boy feels like need for revenge or something like that, where that's a very human emotion. These are just things where it's like, set your sights on this. It's like sniper kind of like, just set your sights on this person and mm-hmm. sick them, basically.
Well, it's someone with the impulse to kill, and it's like a psychopathic response. Yeah. And it's scary because there really are people like this. And you hear it's a kind of nurture versus nature thing, though. Like, if that is your nature, can your nurture sort of change those impulses? Yeah. You know, but it sounds like kind of the bad seed situation a little bit too. Yeah,
wait, what was that? There's like a little
bad seed
evil
was a play. Yeah, a little evil girl. It was also a movie. Mm-hmm. But she was just the bad seed.
Her name was Rhoda, and she basically was just she kills this little boy because he got an award she wanted.
Wow.
And she basically kills anyone that gets in her way and then manipulates, you know, her family to believe that she's this perfect little girl.
What's the one with Macaulay Culkin?
The Good Son.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a scary one too. And then there's also Problem Child, which really
that
scared
one is
me.
So scary.
That one's terrifying.
Yes.
No,
I was
it is
looking
with
over
P?
To see if your phone was
Siri. Is Problem Child terrifying? No, go away.
Oh, wow.
When they sell the pee as lemonade. Do you remember that?
Oh, wow. That's disgusting.
Yeah. It was horrible. Scary.
Would you want your child to kind of go into the system at an early age? Like, would you trust, like, or would you try and kind of hide their impulses from the world?
It's so scary. I mean, have you read any psychopath books? Like, there are, like, I've for some reason my book club read like three books: The Psychopath Test, and then there's like The Sociopath Next Door, and there's
Amanda's Diary.
Oh, I don't know that. Oh, I fell for it. I was like, oh, I want to read Amanda's Diary.
You can, it's locked.
but it sounds like from what I've read in those books that like there is no changing it. So it's not like they said, like no therapy can help and it's not gonna but some of those people end up just becoming, they don't kill people, but they become like high powered whatever, like in their job. They're like, they will climb the ranks without any regard for anyone else, and like that's not necessarily the worst thing that could happen. Like I think killing is where it becomes very scary, because you don't know.
Well, there's a different kind of, could you look up the difference between psychopath and sociopath?
Sure.
Just because there's something, yes, there's the people that have no regard for human life.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the people that feed off of the taking the life of other people. Like that's... You know right. what I mean? The like one is very passive in that I'm not even going to worry about this person because...
Ew. So I have a little chart here. Sorry to interrupt, but a psychopath is 1% of the general population, and there's a silhouette of a man in like a suit.
He looks hot.
Yeah, and he does look hot. And then there's a sociopath, which is 4% of the general population, and he seems to be sort of like a Jason type figure where he's wearing a mask and holding a baseball bat.
I feel like
bat.
It'd be the opposite, that I would think a psychopath would have the baseball bat.
So a psychopath is likely to be educated and have a good career. So this is more like American Psycho.
Uh-huh.
A sociopath is like...
Well, but he wanted to kill. So that's more like a Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of crossover here. And they say that they're kind of very similar, but they're both violent. So what about this? Because I think I have maybe a kind of a solution, what you could do for your child.
Okay.
So I'm always like, maybe there's a way that he could... My first thought was maybe there's a way he can funnel these impulses through some sort of artistic expression, mm-hmm. like maybe like painting or living them out in like a fantasy world in a way that would kind of take the place of actually killing anything.
I like that.
And then I was thinking, well, what about a virtual reality, like a simulation where he could, I mean, and this is still gross, but he could go into the simulation and murder whoever he wants and then hopefully get it out of his system.
I know the fear there is that like then it would give them the desire to do more because they'd be like, that felt good.
And that's what they say. It's kind of like you start small and then you work your way up. You know, like the Golden State Killer was like stalking, and then he was creeping into people's houses, and then he was killing single women home alone. Ugh. And then he was going into couples' houses and killing couples. And it was just this escalation. But you think with proper guidance, maybe it could be managed. Mm. Like if someone had to keep I mean, honestly, I just want that kid out of the house. I would. I'd want
I know it's
gone.
What's so scary.
Let's do a quick improv just to kind of get ourselves. Let's do two parents and then the talking to the kid.
So,
and
they Lauren, just, do you want to be the kid or do you want to be
I'll
one
be
of the parents?
I'll be a parent.
Okay.
Who wants to be the kid?
Maria, do you want to be the bad seed?
Yeah.
I'll be dad. You want to be mom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll sit you down and we're going to,
Okay.
Honey? Hey, Jeremy, come on, have a seat, okay? Here's some chocolate milk. We're going to have a little family discussion.
Okay.
Now, I was digging in the yard, setting up my garden, and I hit something with my rake.
Okay.
Do you know what Mother hit, Jeremy?
No.
You don't have a guess as to what Mother may have found buried in the garden bed?
A rock.
It looked like a rock at first, and then it was a very long rock, the size of Bastion's femur.
You know Bastion? Remember how Mrs. McGillicuddy lost her dog a while ago? She put up flyers around?
Yeah.
Well, Bastion seems to be decomposing in the backyard in your mother's flower boxes.
I found his collar. What? Around your bedpost.
You should call Mrs. McGillicuddy.
Okay, Jeremy. Now, I'm getting a little upset here because I know you know something.
Honey?
I'm just having a conversation with my son.
Put the knife down.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't know anything about
no
it.
No lies. No lies.
Tell the truth.
Yeah, okay. I killed Bastion.
Oh my God. How?
Well, I took your garden shovel. Well, I tied Bastion to a tree.
Oh, my God.
Jeremy.
You asked.
Keep going.
And I took a shovel, and I just started hitting him.
Oh, my God.
And then how'd you get it down to just the bones?
Well, honey, I think it had been buried there a while.
What?
A year.
I hope.
Yeah, a year ago.
Oh, I thought you... Well, that's a little better. I thought you had scraped off all of his skin and hair.
Oh, although it would have been better if you had done something.
It's a good idea.
Oh, sorry.
Sharon. And how did you feel when you were doing
good.
This?
Good.
Wow. That's the most alive you've sounded in years.
What are you going to do? Send me away?
What about Pearl?
Yeah, Pearl too. Pearl was my first kill.
The mini horse?
Yeah, so?
And do you feel sad about this?
No,
or sorry?
I feel happy.
So what you do? So you just got scared we were going to send you away. So yep. What do you think would happen if we sent you away?
They'd lock me up.
And then what?
I'd never be able to do my art again.
This is your art?
No, my beats.
Your music.
Oh, your beats. Yes. I do love your necklaces too.
Oh, your beads. Oh, okay.
You are a talented artist. Jeremy, this is what we're trying to say. You're a talented artist. You're a DJ. You make necklaces. You have so many skills, and yet here you are just killing helpless animals. You know, we can't have this.
Well, I can't stop, so what are you going
to
do?
Well, we're going to have to send you away.
Fine. You're not going to
military school.
You're going to military school, and you're going to kill humans.
What's the...
But for the good guys.
What's that going to do?
You're going to become a Marine.
Okay?
I don't want anyone telling me what to do,
Jeremy,
ever.
You have to. It's the only way.
Okay, and out.
We actually did kind of find a solution.
Well, but this is the thing. I actually think that there are psychopaths and sociopaths in the military, and it gets really scary. Like that one, or people lose their mind when they're out there, but
right.
That one, was it the Marine who was like shooting all the... shooting everyone out in the sandbox.
Oh,
yikes.
Yeah, he was like just shooting
people on.
Yeah,
on people.
But I think that's a little different than someone born with a taste for blood.
But no, I think I'm saying I think there are some people who have that blood lust.
Or that's why they would get into that.
Yeah, and they go into the military to kind of act it out, and they probably in some cases do well, and maybe sometimes they keep it under control, but sometimes I think it gets out of control.
Right.
And then what happens when they come back, you know?
Yeah. If you really think about being in the military, killing people, not having that be something you're interested in doing, but you just end up doing that, and then you come back, like, of course you have PTSD. I mean, like, oh my
horrible
God. That would be so awful.
I don't think having a kid like that, and there's also that Tilda Swinton movie we need to
talk about
Kevin.
Oh, that movie
okay
is
wait, what
crazy.
Is that about? So is he killing
he's
things?
Got a crossbow. And it's and he's I don't think he's ever he's just weird. He's like off, and she doesn't want to do anything about it. I saw it so many years ago, and basically it at the end he like kills a bunch of his classmates and spoiler and the dad and the sister.
Wow.
I believe, or the brother or whatever, and then
scary.
She's the only one left living. And then she has to kind of show her face around town
oh
and
my
stuff
God.
Like that.
Tilda Swinton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's I'm sorry, but you see this in your child. They are a danger to society. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't feel equipped to like deal with that really. I know that would be hard, but I think I'd have to send that kid away.
And hopefully they could get helped. I mean, it's not that we're putting them in chains. It's just like to be
in a facility where you're taken care of.
And- yeah. But then again, what if you don't have the means to like, you have to go to some like government run.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know, but you can't, it's the lice situation.
Yeah.
Jeremy killed a dog. Do you want to still play on Wednesday?
It's basically the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to keep the kid away.
All kids kind of experiment with like burning ants and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but not a mammal. They don't kill mammals.
Yeah, there is a line. Maybe they'll pull the cat's tail.
Yeah.
But they don't dismember the cat.
No, they don't. So final thoughts, what do you guys think?
I just think like if you can avoid it, all killing's wrong. But I do think my clever idea of putting them in the virtual reality world. I mean, maybe they can just live full time in the virtual reality world.
But isn't that a prison?
I mean, isn't this a prison?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I feel like I would just be putting them right into all the therapy and all. I would be doing all the things they said in the question. They said will not work, but I would just try that first, and then if they kept harming things, then it's really scary. I mean, I think, I don't know. I think I would be I'd feel devastated and it would be horrible.
But you couldn't ask your kid to harness.
I would try, but I don't know. I don't believe necessarily that the Dexter method would work in real life, that they would actually be okay with just... Plus, they're never able to have real relationships. I mean, it's... Yeah. But maybe that would be true regardless.
Yeah.
If you have those impulses.
Maria.
He always brought in donuts, though.
Dexter did?
Mm-hmm.
He kept it squeaky clean outside. Everyone liked him.
If you bring in donuts to work...
You're likable.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. You guys can't see my face, but my arms are outstretched and I'm just got my shoulders up and I'm going like, you're set.
I'd rather have a quiche.
Well, it's not,
That's so specific.
Yeah. And if you brought in a quiche to work, everyone would be like, where are the donuts?
Really?
No one wants the quiche.
Seriously?
No. Bagels would be nice too. You want to bring in bagels with some lox?
Oh yeah. I could get behind some bagels fresh and lox.
I think bringing a quiche is just kind of presumptuous
that people would like my quiche. I don't know, donuts on like a weekday are hard for me. It's more like a weekend treat, like at like noon.
What? I feel like I now really only want to eat a vegan donut. And I
really
like Donut Friend in LA is the best.
It's good.
If that was presented to me at any time of day anywhere, I will eat it.
Yeah,
but there's something about eating a regular donut in the middle of the day that will just make me lethargic.
Well, that's what happens to me.
Why are you doing it in the middle of the day
or in the morning? It's my day of frying. The one exception I will make is a fresh, hot, like right out of the frying oil, plain donut with a cup of coffee.
That's it's more like coffee cake at that point.
Yes, and I'm so into that. I'll never turn that down. But you never get that because every donut that's coming into the office is like covered in crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I just want a plain donut. Frankly, I'd rather a croissant as well. I would get it.
Croissants are hard though because someone coming into the detective's office with a bag of croissants, those aren't flaky.
They're going to be hard and old.
I had a croissant at Starbucks that was the craziest thing I've ever had in my life.
I remember this.
What was it? It was literally like a loaf of bread.
I've had that there. I feel like where it's like, it's just, it has no flaky texture. It's it's a dome that has been hardened, but it's like dough.
It's crazy. It blew my mind. And it was chocolate too. So you opened it and it was like just a hard block of chocolate in there. But there was no flake. It was just bread. I was eating white bread.
And they used to heat them up and they don't do it all the time now.
Oh my God.
One thing I want to say is that I don't believe that anyone really likes the donuts where they have like cereal and cookies on top of them.
No, I hate
those. I don't think anyone wants that.
No. I'm in general, if you give me a donut, like I can do a fancy Donut Friend vegan donut if there's like a fruit element. Like I like the blueberry one a lot. Or or there's like a lemon one that's good, or strawberry, I'm all for it. But I don't like these crazy donuts.
I don't need any of that. I need a cake donut with the chocolate frosting on top.
Yum. Chocolate bar was always my go-to.
What?
The chocolate bar. Long the John? Twist or the twist.
Mm. Is that oh, a long john? A long john was just like where it's like a rectangle.
Yeah, I like that, but I like the twist too.
And I don't need an apple fritter.
No way.
Bear
why would I want that?
No, I don't want it. No, I don't want
chocolate
it.
Needs
get
to
it
be
away.
Part of it, in my opinion.
Get it away from
well,
me.
How about chocolate with chocolate and peanuts? I can do
oh,
that.
Oh, I can sounds do chocolate good. With chocolate with sprinkles. I'm always yeah, down for a sprinkle.
Me too.
Okay, well, ladies.
Well, we definitely solved that psychopathic child's problem.
Look how much more we're lit up by talking about donuts.
It's easier, oh, I will say.
Yeah, it's easier. Okay, so now we're going to quickly get to a Dear Big Ones, which is, did you send this to me, Maria?
No.
This
I'm
is when
give
our
it to you.
Our listeners write in with one of their Dear Big Ones.
Okay, great.
Yeah, the psychopath dilemma was really, really tough. And I pray that none of us
oh God
have psychopaths.
That's way too scary.
Yeah, but what do you do if you have one? Or we've talked about this before, but that have you seen that documentary on YouTube about the little girl?
Oh my God.
The
wait, what is it?
This little girl was like crazy.
And was it on Oprah?
No, it was like this whole little documentary.
It's like in the 80s or 90s, right? She kept trying to
kill her parents.
And she was like 7.
And she like would go, they'd have to lock her in her room at night. And she was like, she was scary.
There was a child like this on Oprah who was really violent and terrifying. And so the family, like they kind of were documenting the family, and the one parent moved with the other child to a different apartment building while one lived with the crazy child in that apartment. And then they would kind of like flip-flop who was with what child, but they couldn't keep them together because she was trying to hurt the other one all the time.
And it was, what do you do?
Oh my God, it's so scary.
What do you do if a child has like you wake up in the morning or in the middle of the night and you look in your doorway and there's like a demon child there?
That's the scariest thing that could happen.
I mean, kids are just kind of scary, and the kids are just kind of psychopaths before they develop empathy. But there is a line of like if a kid is like has a knife and is trying to stab you.
I remember one time, or this is a story my mom told me, that I was sleepwalking and then I walked into her room and just stood over the bed.
No,
no,
my mom
no,
was
no,
like,
no, no.
Go to bed. And I was like, no.
Oh, no.
And then I did. But
that's scary, though.
I know, it's so creepy.
Ugh. Okay, so here's our Dear Big Ones. Recently, an old friend reached out and asked me on a date, but since asking for my number, he hasn't actually made the date. After some text messaging, taking him sometimes days to respond, I asked if he was free and he had other plans. Now I'm not sure to proceed. Do I keep bugging him? Let it go? Why ask me out if you are never going to take me out? Love, single lady.
That is weird.
That sucks.
Do you feel like the guy got cold feet?
I mean, or maybe who knows what's going on with him? Yeah, maybe he got cold feet, or maybe he met someone else. But at the end of the day, you don't want to be chasing someone.
Mm-mm. No, but I do feel like you could, if you were interested, you could ask him point blank. Like,
yeah,
what happened? You said you wanted to take me out, and then we were texting, and then you didn't. Like, I think it's okay to just be really straightforward.
I love that. I think get clarification and then let us know what he says.
Yeah,
and then we'll help you.
Because he did it. He deserves to be asked that question.
Yeah. But also, you know, that there's another way of thinking. Well, I guess because they're friends. That's the thing. Because they were friends. She said an old friend.
Yeah, but what were you going to say?
That, like, if someone asks you that, to not put all your eggs in that basket, to just kind of go on with your life. And if it happens, it happens. But to not kind of sit in that and wait for that. I know that's hard.
Because you don't want, if you ask him point blank, you don't want it to come across like you're trying to get, like, you don't want him to then, like, begrudgingly ask you out.
Yeah.
No, I think it's more like, oh, I just don't understand. Like, it seemed like we were going to go out, and then now it's been like this. Like,
and
did something come up? It's okay if it did. No big deal.
I like that.
Being like cool about it, not like accusatory, but
yeah, be cool, girl.
Just be chill.
No, because then you're gonna
be
snap.
Cool.
You're gonna snap.
Hey, man, what's the deal?
I mean, I think there's definitely the version where you just pretend that didn't happen. But I think the person who's doing that to you wants you to do that. I don't like that. Like, I don't like ghosting. I don't think that makes sense. I think it's weird, especially if you were friends. So it's like, this is a weird way to he's handling it very strangely. It's possible he got nervous about actually going out with you after getting the
Or maybe he thought he took the first step, which was to ask you for your number, and now he's kind of waiting for you to ask
him. I don't know. I think that if he really wanted to take her out, he would.
Yeah, but also yeah. I agree that it's like, why not just get clarification so you can stop losing sleep over it?
Yeah. Like yeah. if he's like, oh, I actually started dating someone right when I did that.
And yeah.
Go, oh, okay, great. Why don't you just tell me that?
Yeah, because otherwise she's just going to be wondering and like writing into all the podcasts about it.
And then if it's someone you'd want to be friends with again, like that's it's hard to do that if you don't know what happened in this situation. You'll basically never be friends again if you can't figure it out, because you'll always be like, what happened there?
He's
like,
yeah, that is true. Yeah, just be, don't be too cool of a gal, but be cool gal and just be, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Not that big of a deal.
He's definitely acting like it's not. So
yeah. So you should too. You should care even less than he does.
Yeah.
If you.
But couldn't. I do think ghosters deserve to be put on the spot sometimes and just say, well, what happened yeah. there? I don't understand. I didn't get it. It was like weird. But
yeah, I like that. Just ask. We're all human.
You know what you say? You say, hey, get ready because tonight I'm holding a séance.
And then and go, we're gonna ha, 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 what?
And then go, because you're ghosted me and I got to see what's up.
Wow. And then maybe he'll come through during the seance and yeah. ask you out.
Or he'll think that's so clever that he'll be like, yes.
That's a good sketch idea.
A seance for you.
Where you get all the people that have ghosted you. Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll put it in my packet.
Yeah. It's a packet one for sure.
Are you going to write it?
I'll write it and...
You didn't want to film it?
We have a whole setup. I don't know why you don't want to do it.
I'll get my camera. Where do you want to do it?
Well, right now I brought all these candles.
We did have a Ouija board in here the other day. We did.
That's funny.
No ghost came through, though.
No.
Well, we've got donuts on the brain.
I know. I am a little hungry.
My stomach growls. Right now.
Well, I hope it all works out for you. Not you, Lauren. I mean,
yeah, that person. I hope so too. I truly just think it's okay to ask the question without.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to become a big deal. It's just like,
and is texting that okay, or next time they see each other?
I think text it.
Texting is cool because you don't know what. Yeah, I guess maybe they don't see each other that often. Sounds like. But I mean, yeah, if he was waiting days to reply to her and stuff,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
But then that's just fucking. I don't know.
I'll say this guy sounds like you don't want him as your boyfriend anyway. But that being said, if you want clarification, get it. It's a good practice in communicating like an adult.
Yeah. And you weren't the one who asked him out. So it's like not even embarrassing on any level. Yeah. Like, why isn't this happening? It's like he asked you out and then didn't follow up. So like yeah. that's like worth a question. Like I was going to go out with you. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
And then when he says, like, oh, sorry, I changed my mind, you go, well, you know what? You lose because you missed out on something great. Mm-hmm. And then R-E-S-P-E-C-T starts mm-hmm. playing.
And you get up on top of the diner counter and do a dance.
Because you work at Hard Rock Cafe. What's that place?
Rock Cafe. Oh, no. The diner.
Johnny Rockets.
You work at Johnny Rockets.
Yeah.
But Hard Rock Cafe, you work at night on the weekends to pay yeah. for your kids.
And then
school.
There's a cute shy guy at the counter who he's there studying because he wants to go into geology.
He's in high school.
Yeah, he's in high school, and he looks at you, and you guys smile.
And then 5 years later, when you're still working there, and he's done with school, and he's old enough to date.
Yeah.
You guys go out,
and he's wearing a suit now.
Oh, cool.
He goes, excuse me, and he orders the same thing. I'll have the chili cheese fries. And
that's
and
how you know it's him.
Yeah.
He got really tall, but he wouldn't have known.
he says, I'll have the chili cheese fries. Hold the cheese. Because when he said that before, you kind of looked at him and you said, you know, those are just called chili fries. You know, and but yeah. now. This
but meanwhile, you've really been wanting to open your own cupcake store.
Yeah.
So
and you've got the plans and the blueprints, and yeah. he's an architect now, and it really works out because he sees you drop the blueprints back behind the counter when you were trying to get the chili
he
fries.
Goes, what by. Are those? He goes, what are those? Nothing. These are
just some sketches.
Yeah. So let me see them.
And then he asks you, hey, what are you doing after work? When do you get off? And you go, no, I got to take care of something. And then it's revealed that you're a single mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he loves kids.
And your kid's been in the car all day.
Yeah, someone comes in screaming, saying, there's a child in the car. The windows are rolled up. And then you get arrested.
Yeah.
But the kid's okay. He adopts the kid.
The psychopath? Oh, no, the guy adopts it.
Oh my God, yeah. The geologist or the architect adopts the kid, and then the kid turns out to be a psychopath.
Yeah.
And then this whole dilemma starts again.
But you don't have to deal with it because you're in jail.
Yes.
Yes.
And you and your girls are just singing around the jail. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Sakadumi, Sakadumi, Sakadumi. And then one of the... Okay, I'll stop.
No, go.
Well, I was going to say, and then there's someone who's visiting someone else in the jail, and he hears you, and it turns out he's the manager of a big music agency.
Mm. Wow.
And he gets you a record deal, and you're the first person in prison to ever record a platinum album.
And yeah. Then your electric guitar gets hung up in the Hard Rock Cafe.
And then when you get out of jail, they ask you to come sign it.
Yeah.
And you do a whole step and repeat photo with the guitar, and everyone's screaming and clamoring for your autograph and selfie.
And then one night, your little boy, now 25 years old, comes and kills you because of all the wrongs you've done.
Hmm.
The end. And that's it.
All right, guys. Well, this has been great. Lauren, you are doing some cool stuff right now. You're in the Between Two Ferns movie
on Netflix.
Watch that.
And I have a bunch of podcasts that you can listen to. Threedom with Scott Aukerman and Paul F. Tompkins, where we just talk about our lives and stuff. And we play games. And then Raised by TV, which is done now, but you can hear it all on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher Premium or whatever. It's all about TV. And then I have the Wild Horses podcast, which is our live shows recorded for you on Stitcher Premium. Everything's on Stitcher Premium. And then with special guest Lauren Lapkus, my improv podcast, you can get a free month of Stitcher Premium by using code Lapkus.
Sounds so like it's worth
it. Say yeah. Do it.
Hey, and while you're on Stitcher Premium, check out The Complete Woman.
You should.
Yes, which is also coming, is going to be out on Earios.
Oh, good.
Yes. So they're being released from the paywall.
That's fantastic.
Release
good
her.
For you.
Let her out.
I know. Let them all out.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
They're going to come out at some point,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And where can people find you?
On Twitter and Instagram at Lauren Lapkus. Follow me. It's very fun.
And you can find us on Twitter at The Big Ones Pod. You can email us your Dear Big Ones or Big Big Ones like we did today. We used a listener Big Big One at TheBigOnesPodcast@gmail.com. Join our Patreon for as little as a dollar a month. You get so much. Rate and review. Subscribe. And can you just tell one person about it?
Tell one friend, and also, yeah, get on the Apple Podcast. That's where you need the reviews.
Yeah.
Go there tonight, today, right now.
Right now. You're at work.
You're
sitting
it.
There. You don't want to be putting that number into that Excel spreadsheet.
Make it a thing where you set a timer for 1 minute. And I'll tell you, by the time the minute's done, you will have left your review.
And you'll feel so good. Mm-hmm. And you know what you should do? Go get yourself a donut.
You should.
You deserve it. But if you didn't, then you don't deserve it. And you should eat that quiche that weird girl brought in.
Quiche is good with a little side salad. Mustard vinaigrette.
Oh, God.
I love a quiche. Anyway.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Lauren. You were a lot of fun.
This was fun. Thank you.
So thanks so much, guys, for listening to
The Big Ones.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.